This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good afternoon, gearheads. Welcome to your Sunday night with Speed City at a special early super duper time. This is John Massengill. I'm sitting in the studio in Austin, Texas, and I'm joined by Mr. Bob Varsha. Bob, how are you, buddy?
Doing great, John. Despite lousy weather here in Atlanta, I'm heading to Florida tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to a week of sunshine.
Oh, good for you. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope everybody's going to join us today. We're doing this because of the big football game this evening, and Casey, our producer, doesn't ask very many favors, but ask if we could do it early, and I said absolutely. Besides the fact that had we done it at our normal time, nobody would be paying attention anyway. Yeah, so
nobody at all.
So why not? Well, Jonathan's not with us because he's down in New Zealand at the Toyota Racing Series, and I know that he literally was jumping. Straight to the airport today to come back because he's got Trans Am at Sebring coming up, I guess this coming weekend. So Jonathan's not going to join us, but we have a bunch of good stuff on the show tonight. Lots of stuff happening, particularly in Formula One. So, we're going to talk about the Haas F1 car shakedown at Silverstone. We have a nice little clip of the technical director, Simone Resta from Haas F1, talking about the 2023 car development. And it looked pretty interesting. There's lots to talk about with that. So we're going to go over that, and we're going to talk about some remarks about the F1 CEO Domenicali talking about the Andretti comments from earlier. So that is interesting. We're going to talk about FIA with Ben Salem and his change in duties. That was an interesting little take that happened this week. AlphaTauri did their livery reveal. As such, it was pretty minimal, but we'll talk about that as well. And we are going to have an young American race car driver, Jacob Abel, is going to join us live from New Zealand, down where Jonathan is. And they finished up the season last night, and he finished third. There were four Americans that finished in the top 10 in the Toyota Racing Series down there at the Formula Regional Oceania Series down there. So, but Jacob's going to join us towards the end of the show, so we'll get to hear what a young driver feels like down there in New Zealand. But Bob, I want to start with a story that you put in here in our show doc that I wanted you to start off the show with about Jean-Pierre. I can't pronounce his last name.
Well, Jean-Pierre Jabouille passed away at the age of 80. We hate to start the show on a down note, but his was a really interesting career. I think anybody who's been a fan of Formula One for a long time knows about the 1979 French Grand Prix at Dijon, where Gilles Villeneuve and René Arnoux were battling and wheel banging, and it's the most hair-raising competition you have ever seen. My old friends and colleagues, Kent Squire and David Hobbs, called that race for the United States. And it was just amazing. But what nobody thought about at the time was that they were fighting over second place, because up over the horizon and far away was Jean-Pierre Jabouille, who was a master of car setup, endlessly curious about the mechanics of Formula One and racing generally, and basically the main cog, along with Bernard Doudou, in developing Renault's revolutionary V6 turbocharged engine, which failed and failed and failed and failed and failed until it finally came good after a couple of seasons, and Jean-Pierre Jabouille got that first victory for the Renault turbo. To the end of his days, he laughs about the fact that nobody cared because of what Arnoux and Villeneuve were doing. That probably wouldn't be allowed in modern F1, it must be said. But he is definitely a guy worth knowing more about, and he will be missed.
Well, thanks for that. And there's a couple of nice articles out there on him, motorsport.com, and a couple other places that I spotted out there. So, well, I want to move into what I alluded to at the top of the show about F1 CEO Stefano Domenicali talking about Michael Andretti. And it's not the first time we've heard him say similar comments, but he's responding to when Michael called the team's greedy a little bit back a few weeks ago. And, you know, as we know, Andretti's partnered with General Motors, trying to put together a spot on the F1 grid. But Domenicali called his comments not smart. He says, first of all, we're very welcoming of everyone that is bringing value to the racing. He's talking to Sky Sports F1. He said, I know them very, very well, of course, Michael and Mario, for many years. That's not a problem of not welcoming. That's been wrong wording, he says, that haven't been welcome. He says, I think we need to respect everyone. There are teams like Mario Andretti and Michael Andretti being very vocal about their will to enter Formula One. In my view, it is not smart to say the teams are greedy to protect themselves, but that's my opinion. But there are others with much less vocal that would like to come into Formula One. So there is a process, and to respect, we'll make sure together with the FIA that the process is respected. So, yeah, I mean, Bob, it's not the first time he said similar comments, right?
Yeah. I mean, come on. We're all grown-ups here. Michael has gone through a tremendous process organizing his Formula One team. All he needs is the okay from on high, as I understand it. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. And it's certainly understandable that he is frustrated. And to be honest, he's got a point. The teams think that $200 million ante that he's got to come up with to get his team off the ground is too little. You could make that argument. It probably should be more, given the going rate among other professional sports around the world. But that's not the point. You know, guys like Toto Wolff and Christian Horner, they don't get their feelings hurt lightly. So I'm not sure exactly where Stefano Domenicali is coming from on this. It doesn't help, but if the process is purely about showing that you have the finances, you have the engineering bench, you have the facilities, you have everything you need to go Formula One racing and bring value, whatever that means, you know, who cares about, you know, schoolyard name calling? You know, Michael's frustrated, and rightfully so. So get over it. Let's go racing. Let's hear about this process. Let's hear who these other teams are thus far unnamed who want to get on the grid. Who are they? What have they got to show? Michael's put his cards on the table. What are they doing?
I love it, Bob, because, you know, Michael said he wanted to do this and basically got almost no response at all, except for from people like Toto Wolff and Christian Horner, who were initially criticizing him. He's like, well, hang on a minute. So basically, Domenicali is saying it's okay for Toto Wolff and them to start criticizing, but it's not okay for Michael to respond. I don't remember the exact timeline, but I agree with you. It's silly. Let's get the process going. And this is something we didn't get to touch on last week, is that the FIA is formally opening up the process for new teams. But like you said, let's find out who those are, and let's hear. Let's hear what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But yeah, that process is now formally open. And the article that I read was talking about how they're saying there's documents that need to be submitted and, all the formal process. I'd like to know all the details about how all that's going to happen. And, and of course, who the other teams are. But let's continue to make that transparent, right? That's what we want. We want some transparency in this whole
thing. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll watch that closely. Obviously, we'll see what happens there. If I were a betting man, I would say that it won't be long after the process is, whatever the deadline is for them to close the process and then announce teams, that I would imagine Andretti Cadillac will get announced, that is going to happen pretty darn quickly because.
Yeah. And we should note too, Formula One has stubbed their toe badly in the past when it comes to vetting new proposed teams. I mean, they have had some real losers out there. In the case of the stillborn USF1 program, that car was coming along, but it just wasn't on the appropriate timeline. So now a timeline is required to be submitted so they can avoid that situation in the past. But they've also had teams come out there. Oh, God, where was that guy from? I can't remember his name. He wanted to use a garage in Croatia somewhere where he was going to base his Formula One team and buy his stuff from Toyota up in Cologne, Germany. And it was just the most transparently useless attention grab, I guess you'd say. So, you can understand Formula One wants to make sure they're talking to real, legitimate, plausible applicants to join the Formula One grid. And I can't see how putting three more teams out there, if they are properly vetted and are ready to go out there and do the job, how can they not bring value to Formula One? I just don't get it. I understand the teams on the lower half of the championship last year aren't so crazy about that idea. Teams on the upper half, at least for now, are probably safe given how hard it is to wring results out of Formula One competition. But I don't know. I don't know what everybody's afraid of or insulted by.
You know what? Andy P on YouTube has a really good comment, and it really goes right into what you just said. It's like, Andy says, feels like Stefano and Michael need to sit down, break bread, and hash this out. So short-sighted. Yes, why don't we get a little face-to-face communication? We're sitting here communicating over Twitter and other social media. It's like, come on, guys, let's sit down and hash this out properly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Andy has another good comment. He says, it also feels like a kiss the ring statement. If the Netflix boom starts to wane, Stefano might be stuck with 10 teams if he's lucky. He could easily go back to 2014 again. Yes. I mean, hey, I was literally thinking on the drive to the studio how crazy it was. It wasn't that long ago when I was sitting across from Gunther Steiner, and he was telling me it was before the Uracali, it was right after Uracali had been announced. And he was saying that Gene told him that he was going to shut the whole thing down. They had done their 5-year stint and they were going to shut it down. And Gene said, either find some money or shut this thing down. And here we are. I'm sure Gene has a totally different tune that he's singing now about the value of his investment now, because who knows what the value of a Formula One team is now, right?
Yeah. So he signed the Concord a couple of years ago. He's got 3 more years to think about it. And then at the end of 2025, on the eve of the new engine rules coming in, with all 6 big car builders around the world who have said they're going to build Formula One drivelines, he'll have another opportunity to judge whether he wants to stay in the ballpark with Formula One. But, you know, the way things are going right now, how can you not want to be in Formula One? Look at Ford. Look at GM.
Yeah.
Honda wants to come back yet again. Talk about short attention spans. Come on, guys. Honda's been in and out of Formula One, you know, more often than every, you know, gold credential holder in the pit lane. yeah. I mean, better days are ahead. Well, if you want more money, ask for more money. I'm sure Michael can find it. The one piece of advice I would give Michael, and it reflects kind of on his horrible year in Formula One back in the early 90s, is he waited for his McLaren team to contact him to contact him about where he needed to be and when. I hope he's not doing that now. You know, swallow your pride a little bit. Don't wait for them to contact you. Keep banging on that door. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? When do we need to do it? Here it is. Well, force their hand.
Yeah. You talk about Honda. We're going to go to quick break, but when we come back, I just want to touch on that. But you're listening to Sunday Night with Speed City, special Sunday afternoon edition. Back after these.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Speaking of Mario Andretti, bringing us back. All right, I said I was going to talk about Honda, and just very briefly, because I want to get into the Haas F1 car launch, or car shakedown, I should say. And I was just going to say, with Honda, you know, I was talking about the timing of the Haas F1 team, about Gene Haas said he was going to get out. Well, Honda did it. They got out. You know, they had such a time of it with McLaren, right? A horrible experience. Took them years to get the power unit right. They were getting blamed for, you know, rightfully so. The power unit wasn't doing great. And then when they got it right, by the time they got it right, they'd already decided to get out and hand over basically all their engine technology to Red Bull, who's now going to hand that to Ford. Think about that. So it's like the worst possible scenario for Honda. I mean, I shouldn't laugh, because Honda's been a big part of motor racing. And, you know, I have a very favorable opinion of Honda and motor racing and their technology and their engineering. But that was just really crappy timing. It just shows you the velocity of the increase in audience, especially in the United States, in Formula One. It was crazy. But
yeah. And that's, you know, what caught the attention of GM and Ford. You know, you cannot not, to use a double negative, be involved in Formula One. If you want to get your name out, if you're building cars, technology, and so on. The rule about Honda, we always used to say, is most car companies build street cars and then go racing. Honda is a racing company that happens to build street cars. And they do so mainly to train young engineers. So, you know, you'd think they'd be endlessly patient in that regard. And yet they came in, built their own car in the 60s, then left. Came back with McLaren and swept the table, then left, then came back again and left. And now, you know, here we are. Apparently, they are talking to McLaren, because Honda is declared for the 2026 new engine rules. They're going to build power units, but they don't have a team. So supposedly, they're chatting with Zach Brown and the gang at McLaren about rejoining Formula One as a team.
Yep. And someone on YouTube asked, Security Check Al, or Jowl, says, is there a possibility that Honda supply a power unit to Andretti with the Cadillac badge? And I think, well, actually, we touched on this in a few shows ago. Mm-hmm. I think, yes, that's a possibility, because there was the GM and Renault connection and all these other things, but that fell apart. But GM and Honda have absolutely agreed to move forward to do electric vehicle engineering and production together in some way. And they have that partnership. So, and then of course, Andretti and Honda have a connection. And so I think that's a definite possibility. It's just, there's a lot of negotiating and a lot of discussion to take place before flushes out. So, yeah.
Yeah. If Honda's providing engines to two teams under two different brand names, who gets priority?
Yeah. Yeah. Good question.
That's all the go fast parts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk about the Haas car, because the Haas car hit the track at Silverstone. What was it? 100 kilometers, I think it was. They got to run. And, you know, I say run, I hesitate to call it a test, because it's really just a shakedown, right? It's the first time the car was put on track. And
they call it a filming day.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know as well as I do, anytime you can put a Formula One car on track early, you've got all the data channels open and collecting data, right?
Sure. Sure. They'll be out there. And Kevin Magnussen was really enthusiastic about driving the car. He seems to think it's a real step up for them, which is encouraging and good to hear.
Yes. I want to, our producer's showing some of these photos, because the car itself, when I first glanced at it, it looked pretty close to last year's car. And then you start zooming in and looking, there is quite a bit of new bits on this car. And sure. I mean, it looks like a really significant upgrade from last year, which is super exciting. I mean, look, we saw how great they came out of the gate last year. And then I feel like that they kind of ran out of money and didn't have a bunch of money for the upgrades. And this year with MoneyGram, speaking of money, MoneyGram, that they're going to have some ability to do that. But yeah. I've got a little clip here, and this is from the technical director for HACCP One, Simone Resta. And I want to play this. It's like 3 minutes or so. And he talks about, I think this was filmed right before they actually went to Silverstone, but he talks about the process. And I thought it was really fascinating about when they start the process. So let's hear from Simone Resta.
The VF23, the new 2023 car concept work started approximately after the first races of the 22 car. Basically, as soon as we put the car on the track, we learned about it, etc. Then we started to work on the new model. Initially, the work is a bit less intense with some aerodynamic development, some initial concept work. And then week after week, month after month, you know, is a progressive increase of resources, a progressive probably shift one project to the other, up to a point that when you arrive at the shutdown time, is kind of the vast majority of the resources are on the new car. So there is this transition period that is going more or less from the first race to the shutdown, where the resources are moving one project to the other. And then after that, then it's a matter of start to, you know, release the big models in production, the chassis, and then, you know, all the other parts, etc. And that is, again, another transition between, let's say, shutdown and, say, Christmas time, where the majority of the components are released in production. Now we are into the next phase, so we are just at the start of the car build. The car is homologated. And in a few weeks' time, we'll proceed with all the steps of assembling the car before we start with the chassis and the fuel system. And then step by step, we start to add the blocks like the suspension, and then the, you know, the radiator duct, the radiators, all the cooling system, etc. And you know, building the chassis and onto a vehicle. And we are planning to fire up the car beginning of February, and being ready, let's say, for mid February. Filming day, let's say, promotional event on the track. Well, looking after all the main areas of intervention from 22 to 23, I say that probably we try to save a few of the components of the 22 car, but try to redo everything, to improve the aerodynamic performance on the car, redo to improve the weight of the component, and redo to improve the quality of the component. And improve also the reliability, all based on the lesson from the previous model. So there's been a massive rework of all the car. Some of the components, they don't look radically different. I would say it's probably more a development of the 22 car, but it's a complete rework of all the car. It's a complete development involving many, many components. It's always very difficult to predict what happened into the next season in terms of, you know, competitiveness ranking and gap, let's say, from the first cars to the last cars on the grid. Considering a good stability in terms of regulation, and considering our last year, the outcome of last year, I probably think that we might see a closure in terms of grid and gaps, let's say, from the first cars to the last cars. But let's see in 2 months' time. Well, last year proposition was a great joy for everyone in the team. It was the first pole position ever for the team. For me, our objective is always to maximize our performance in every condition, from on every track, in every condition, with both drivers, and that's the objective. Then how that will materialize into a final result, I'm not sure. It would be great to see a podium or a race win. We always have to aim high, and let's see what we can get in 23.
Lots of interesting stuff in that, Bob. I just took a handful of notes. I love it. I knew this, but it's interesting to hear it, is that they said that the day the 22 car hit the track was the day they started development on the 23 car. We always have heard that, but it is amazing to think about that. And remember, this is the team, I think this is what, just the second year that this team, headed up by Simone Resta, that they have their offices in Maranello, of course, near Ferrari, or at Ferrari, essentially. But isn't this just the second year that this group of people have been working together?
Yes. Well, third year, I think, because remember, the whole thing was sparked by the imposition of the cost cap, originally $145 million. So teams were cutting back on personnel, and that led to the folks at Haas to increase their personnel using veteran engineers and so forth from Ferrari, which led to the formation or the establishment of that office in Maranello. So, yeah, they've had several seasons of working together. I thought those were brilliant remarks. Simone Resta was a little bit hard to understand, but it was a great layout of the timeline that all of the teams operate on, you know, within their budgets and their facilities and what's possible. This year's car is on the track. Turn it over to the team. Let us know if you have issues. Meanwhile, we're off working on next year's car. And he referred to the shutdown. That's the summer break, the 4 weeks between Hungary and Spa, August, September, where the teams have to shut down the factories for everybody to get a break. And then they're back at it to the end of the season. But while the team hopefully is fighting for a championship, the boys and the girls back at the factory are working on next year's race car. It's just a fascinating process. I love it.
Yeah, you said he's kind of hard to understand. Absolutely. I was listening to that, and I was playing some of it back, and I was like, I still don't get it. But Haas had sort of a transcript. They had a transcript of about 20 or 30% of his words on their on their news release. So that that helped me a little bit. But I like the last thing he said. And I'd already thought about this. As soon as I saw the car and I was looking and I'm hearing that it was quite a bit of new development done, I was thinking, you know, we had the pole position for Magnussen last year, which was a brilliant pole position. It was not just the luck of the rain. It was a brilliant drive by Magnussen. And I thought, you know what? They could potentially fight for podiums this year. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen, you know? And
right.
And the fact that Gunther said that they are now going to be able to spend up to the budget cap, where insinuating that they couldn't last year. And
right.
So the fact that they are going to have, look, they're now a mature team. They're maturing. They've got, like we just said, they've got this staff of people there that have been working together. They've got the money to get all the little bitty things. I spent the day with my son yesterday in the race shop, and they're on the McLaren. They were working on it a little bit. And he was just talking about what every tiny little thing cost. And I thought, you know, with Haas, having that little bit of money could keep pushing them up the ladder. You know, I still feel like it's going to be maybe weather related or something to get Haas onto the podium, but I wouldn't be crazy, would it?
Oh, absolutely not. And, you know, Pietro Fittipaldi on the show last week said the MoneyGram sponsorship deal is huge because we can spend right up to that cap, and we can do lots of things beside because there's a lot of loopholes in the cost cap. But be that as it may, we can do more. We can upgrade more. You know, how early did Haas, you know, shut down further development of the 2022 car because they just didn't have the resources and they had to be thinking about 2023? Well, now, hopefully we'll be seeing updates throughout the season. And this is a battle that every team up and down the grid fights, and why Formula One managers have to be so good. You got 1,000 people going in every direction, designing new parts, testing new materials. But sooner or later, somebody has to say, okay, it's done. That part is going to look like this. Hopefully it'll perform like this, and start, as Resta was saying, you know, putting the blocks together, you know, putting together a suspension and getting that on the car, and the cooling and the engine installation and the aerodynamic bits and so on. I learned so much about these things from my old colleague, Steve Matchett, because he, of course, had an insider perspective on all of that. And it's just fascinating.
Yeah, I that's why I love it when we have Dave O'Neill on the show, because he's done the same thing. So
yeah, he's seen it, done it.
Speaking of MoneyGram, I have a little clip from Gunther Steiner, because when we caught up with him at COTA last year, it was the day they announced this MoneyGram official sponsorship. And he said, I knew he had said something, so I dug this clip up, because I've seen people on the internet going, oh my gosh, another lame sponsor from Haas F1, because they don't know who MoneyGram is. MoneyGram is a huge company and has deep pockets and is not some sort of scam like they have had to deal with in the past. But let me hear, let me let you hear Günther Steiner himself say it. MoneyGram, American sponsor. They seem like a fantastic fit for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fantastic that we did the partnership with them. You know, they are good guys, and as you say, it's an American company, American team. I think we are going the right direction here. You know, it will give us stability over the next years. You know, it's a multi-year deal we have done with them, you know, and they believe in F1, and obviously they want to get globally a little bit more recognition, but in the end, America is very, very important to them, and you know, they seem to be happy with us. It's good, as I said, for the whole team.
Well, it seems like a partnership, it's a two-way relationship.
Absolutely. Partnerships, sponsorships at this level, they need to be a two-way street, because otherwise it isn't working for one of them, you know. So you need to try to find where you work together, you grow together, and they see the opportunity in us, actually. Because, you know, we are still up and coming, you know. I say, even if we are here a long time already, we are still the youngest team, and we had two difficult years behind us. But as you saw, we kick back and we keep on going, and they want to be part of it. And obviously, they realized that Formula One in the States now is very good. I think they are the first one of the big companies jumping into F1 from America.
Yeah, the first one of the big companies jumping in. I think that was before the Oracle announcement. But anyway, the fact that they are a big, serious sponsor with deep pockets, and I think that's a big deal. All right, let's get a quick break in. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more Formula One. We'll probably move on to some more livery reveals. You're listening to your Sunday Night with Speed City. Back after this. Hey, guys. We are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Altstadt Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer. And I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it. But I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I'm not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why? What makes it so special? The water and the recipe?
Well, yeah. I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Altstadt beer, fantastic. And I'm, you know, most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated, and our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated, and that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me, was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's
beautiful.
Got a great tie-in, because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep, it's around all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadt Beer, altstadtbeer.com. Altstadt Beer, altstadtbeer.com.
Hello to everyone. This is Günther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back. I want to talk about the AlphaTauri livery reveal. It was, what I saw was a 2-minute video with about 10 seconds of the car at the end. So, I mean, they talk about this big New York glitzy announcement, and then they had that. I was like, oh, come on. And isn't it crazy, Bob, yeah, the differences between the reveals? Because some of them are like this, and then some have a lot of detail. The cars, some of the cars are like the Red Bull. And by the way, to me, the biggest failure of them all was the Red Bull one, because trying to watch that thing with all this unrelated content to F1, I mean, I stopped it and said, I'll go back and watch this, because they had a bunch of Red Bull athletes from different sports, which is fine. It just didn't interest me. And then, of course, the car was basically just a livery, but yeah, I mean, it's wild about the variations, the way the teams do it.
Are you not tuned into that young vibe? That's Red Bull. That's what they're selling as a lifestyle. AlphaTauri is selling sportswear. You know, it's, you have to get to the core of their marketing plan. What are they out there to do? Oh yeah. Here's the race car, by the way. You know, it's funny, but it's effective, I have to say.
Yeah. And of course they did it during Fashion Week, right? Which is the AlphaTauri brand and how they're going to start selling that brand here in the United States for the first time. Yep. I think I read that. So yeah. But I mean, well, first of all, what'd you think of that livery?
Yeah, I think it's cool. Is it blue? I couldn't tell, to be honest.
Yes.
I thought it was another black race car, but I guess it's blue, which is kind of traditional for AlphaTauri. You know, I've got to offer the caveat that I don't read anything into these reveals. You know, it's almost like the pink or blue baby gender reveal. It's like, okay, fine. And it's that way with these race cars. These are not the cars we're going to see testing in Bahrain in a few weeks. You know, it's time to show off your sponsors, you know, to get a little publicity going. And that's fine. I have no problem with all of that. I did sit up and pay attention when Christian Horner at the Red Bull gathering said, I can see a fourth United States Grand Prix in New York. I assume he knows that somebody tried that.
Yeah.
Be that as it may, interesting to hear that from Christian Horner.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was before Drive to Survive. So it's like pre-COVID. It's pre-Drive to Survive. Everything is different now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I'm really excited about with AlphaTauri, though, is Nyck de Vries, just because of the way he came into the sport, right? That's going to be really one of my favorite stories to watch.
Oh, yeah. Very talented guy. You know, has been sort of overlooked. He's been reserve driver for a long time. Mercedes put him into their Formula E program for 3 years, and he won that world championship. And now he's finally into Formula One for a full season. So it's great. He's 28 years old, which is getting on for a guy making his debut in Formula One.
Yeah.
But he's a great guy. He's funny, very good driver. Yeah. And I think he'll make an impact at AlphaTauri.
Now,
I think Yuki Tsunoda is going to have to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was just going to say, yeah, it was just so much fun the way he was thrown into the sport there and did so great. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he does. And that is an interesting, that's an interesting lineup, isn't it? With he and Tsunoda. I mean, you don't see a 28-year-old rookie and teamed up with such a young driver on the other side. It's just unusual, but it'll be fun to watch that.
No question.
Let's see what else. You put in a very interesting story to me because I'm really fascinated by this whole sustainable fuel side of Formula of all motorsports, in which you relate it back to Rolex. Talk about that, Bob.
Well, of course, sports cars are where I began, so I was paying very close attention to the Rolex 24 Hours. I'm sorry I couldn't have been there. But one of the things that really caught my attention was when our old friend Marshall Pruitt, during his extensive reporting, mentioned that the race-winning Acura won despite having to make two extended pit stops for what he called an oil flush. Apparently, the oil in the engine, in the system, had been compromised by some of the components in the sustainable fuel they were running, probably through the combustion process, you know, the oil that lubricates the cylinders. Was getting into the fuel, or the other way around. Whatever's in the fuel got into the oil, and they had to replace the oil on a couple of occasions. I actually called Marshall this week to ask him if he could tell me more about it. He said that's on my list of stories to investigate. So if you follow Marshall Pruitt on social media, watch for his reporting on that. As soon as I heard sustainable fuel for Formula One, I do not know if the components are the same. But I'm trying to get ahead of this idea that people might find it more complicated than they're thinking when you get this stuff involved. Now, keep in mind, a few years ago, Ferrari got in trouble because it was determined that they were actually pushing oil into the cylinders during the combustion process to increase the caloric value, get more power out of each piston stroke, and get around the fuel flow rules of Formula One. Formula One tells you how much fuel you can use, and more importantly, how fast you can use it, the fuel flow meter. And they were found to have been getting oil into the combustion process with the fuel and air to get a little more bang for their buck. So it's very likely, as I see it right now at this early stage, that sustainable fuels may cause some contamination problems that are going to have to be dealt with. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the last thing you want, as you know, trying to keep the engine lubricated with some other chemical getting into the system. But, you know, that's going to be such a complex thing. I'm sure Formula One will get all that figured out. But I'm just excited to see sustainable fuels make it into the equation, because,
of course,
to me, that's the thing that's going to keep our internal combustion cars on the road, and the passion and the mechanical that we all love. Yeah, we all love the acceleration of an electric car, but it's not what is exciting to me about motorsport and about the mechanical things that I've come to, you know, that I grew up with and love about cars. So we'll see how all that plays out. That'll be really fascinating to see, because I'm trying to stay on top of it, but I don't even know the directions. I know there's different ways to do sustainable fuel, so we'll check all that stuff out. But the other story, Schumacher, Mick Schumacher. Bob, that's interesting too.
Yeah, that he's going to have a reserve role. Obviously, Mercedes is taking very good care of him, and he will be at the Formula One races, probably get some, you know, FP1 first practice drives. So we'll be seeing Mick Schumacher around, and that's good for the sport, I think, because he remains very popular.
Yeah, what a smart move by McLaren. You know, that's such a Zach Brown move, isn't it? To set up that Schumacher, because he is exactly what you said, just so popular that he could end up, you know, driving a McLaren as a reserve driver. That's such a smart move by Zach Brown, and he's always been good at that.
That's right. The team escaped me. It's McLaren that he's chatting with.
Yeah, yeah. Also, McLaren talking to Honda again. We talked about that earlier. Oh, I saw this. We talked about this right before we went on the air, but Daniel Ricciardo and Stephen Colbert. It's fantastic that we're getting so much F1 content across American television. But that was good of him to go on Colbert. And you commented before the show about how much he talked about Drive to Survive, right?
Yeah, he actually credited Drive to Survive with nearly all of the boost in young people's enthusiasm for Formula One here in the United States, which raised a question in my mind. Okay, a race weekend is not necessarily going to look just like Drive to Survive. I mean, you spoke with the producers of that show in Austin last year. They were as surprised as anybody that it was as well-received and popular as it is. So, I don't know. It's the old lawyer in me talking, I guess. So what if the presentation of Formula One race weekends isn't as dramatic and sexy and noisy and colorful as Drive to Survive, for obvious reasons? It's reality. Is that going to turn off any fans? Are they going to say, well, this wasn't what I expected? Are we going to see a dip in those astonishing popularity numbers? I don't know. I think it's a question worth asking.
Misrepresentation? Is that the right word for the lawyer in you?
No, not misrepresentation, but it's the difference between being able to get your video and pick and choose and develop your storylines as opposed to putting 20 of these fabulous race cars and personalities out there saying, off you go. Have at it.
Yeah, I hope that that people don't get turned off. Let's say they watch Drive to Survive and they, you know, they get excited and then they turn on a race. And, you know, and if the first one they turn on happens to not be the most exciting, I could easily see that happening. But you know, there is so much of Drive to Survive that's kind of behind the scenes. So hopefully it still work as a pretty nice match. Look, whatever they've done, it's appeared to have worked. But I do know exactly what you mean. You know, I was talking about this F1 wheel nut a while ago. I did a little presentation at a school, and they wanted the teacher said, "Can you bring some video?" And I said, "Sure, I'll grab some YouTube video." And I thought, you know what? I was so fascinated by the Grosjean crash in the Netflix, and Netflix actually had a clip of that on YouTube. And I thought, let me look and see what else is out there. So I went to F1's YouTube channel and basically played the same thing. And after playing them back to back, I was like, there's no doubt I'm going to take the Netflix version to the kids because it is so dramatized. And they really did it. They did it fantastically well, telling the story behind the scenes, showing the facial expressions of Gunther Steiner and everybody when they didn't know what was happening inside that ball of fire. So, Netflix has knocked it out of the park. What is it? Box to Box Films. Those guys have knocked it out of the park. So they've done a great job with it. And Bob, I remember last year when it was announced, they did they talked about the numbers. And I think it was 2 weeks in after the show had been out for 2 weeks. And they said 50 million people had watched that Netflix show, Drive to Survive, in the first 2 weeks it was out. And then I saw yesterday that IndyCar had decided to up the ante and spend $17 million on marketing. I'm like, okay, IndyCar spending $17 million and F1 is getting the equivalent of $17 billion worth of, that's an exaggeration, but who knows how much. So
yeah,
it's crazy. All right, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we have a young American driver, Jacob Abel, who's going to join us live from New Zealand. You're listening to your Sunday night with Speed City. Back after this.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Karun Chandok, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to your Sunday night with Speed City on a Sunday afternoon, a super Sunday. I want to welcome to the show, very excited, because there are four Americans down in New Zealand this year for the Castrol Toyota Formula Regional Oceania Series, and we have with
Nailed
us...
It.
I was close, wasn't it? It was pretty close. A little hesitation there.
It's a mouthful.
But we have with us Jacob Abel. Jacob, welcome to Speed City.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I think I've been on this a couple times, and it's always good to, you know, catch up with you guys.
Well, give everybody a quick...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. you're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Hello to everyone, this is Gunther Steiner, this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back. I want to talk about the AlphaTauri livery reveal. It was, what I saw was a 2-minute video with about 10 seconds of the car at the end. So, I mean, they talk about this big New York glitzy announcement, and then they had that. I was like, oh, come on. And isn't it crazy, Bob, yeah, the differences between the reveals? Because some of them are like this, and then some have a lot of detail. The cars, some of the cars are like the Red Bull. And by the way, to me, the biggest failure of them all was the Red Bull one, because trying to watch that thing with all this unrelated content to F1, I mean, I stopped it and said, I'll go back and watch this, because they had a bunch of Red Bull athletes from different sports, which is fine. It just didn't interest me. And then, of course, the car was basically just a livery. But yeah, I mean, it's wild about the variations, the way the teams do it.
Are you not tuned into that young vibe? That's Red Bull. That's what they're selling as a lifestyle. AlphaTauri is selling sportswear. You know, it's... you have to get to the core of their marketing plan. What are they out there to do? Oh yeah, here's the race car, by the way. You know, it's funny, but it's effective, I have to say.
Yeah, and of course they did it during Fashion Week, right? Which is the AlphaTauri brand, and how they're going to start selling that brand here in the United States for the first time. Yep. I think I read that. So yeah, but I mean, well, first of all, what'd you think of that livery?
Yeah, I think it's cool. Is it blue? I couldn't tell, to be honest.
Yes.
I thought it was another black race car, but I guess it's blue, which is kind of traditional for AlphaTauri. You know, I've got to offer the caveat that I don't read anything into these reveals. You know, it's almost like the pink or blue baby gender reveal. It's like, okay, fine. And it's that way with these race cars. These are not the cars we're going to see testing in Bahrain in a few weeks. You know, it's time to show off your sponsors, you know, to get a little publicity going. And that's fine. I have no problem with all of that. I did sit up and pay attention when Christian Horner at the Red Bull gathering said, I can see a fourth United States Grand Prix in New York. I assume he knows that somebody tried that.
Yeah.
Be that as it may, interesting to hear that from Christian Horner.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was before Drive to Survive. So it's like pre-COVID. It's pre-Drive to Survive. Everything is different now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I'm really excited about with AlphaTauri, though, is Nyck de Vries. Just because of the way he came into the sport, right? That's going to be really one of my favorite stories to watch.
Oh, yeah. Very talented guy. You know, has been sort of overlooked. He's been reserve driver for a long time. Mercedes put him into their Formula E program for 3 years, and he won that world championship. And now he's finally into Formula One for a full season. So it's great. He's 28 years old, which is getting on for a guy making his debut in Formula One.
Yeah.
But he's a great guy. He's funny, very good driver. Yeah. And I think he'll make an impact at AlphaTauri.
Now,
I think Yuki Tsunoda is going to have to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was just going to say, yeah, it was just so much fun the way he was thrown into the sport there and did so great. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he does. And that is an interesting, that's an interesting lineup, isn't it? With he and Tsunoda. I mean, you don't see a 28-year-old rookie and teamed up with such a young driver on the other side. It's just unusual, but it'll be fun to watch that.
No question.
Let's see what else. You put in a very interesting story to me because I'm really fascinated by this whole sustainable fuel side of Formula of all motorsports, in which you relate it back to Rolex. Talk about that, Bob.
Well, of course, sports cars are where I began, so I was paying very close attention to the Rolex 24 Hours. I'm sorry I couldn't have been there. But one of the things that really caught my attention was when our old friend Marshall Pruitt, during his extensive reporting, mentioned that the race-winning Acura won despite having to make two extended pit stops for what he called an oil flush. Apparently, the oil in the engine, in the system, had been compromised by some of the components in the sustainable fuel they were running, probably through the combustion process, you know, the oil that lubricates the cylinders, was getting into the fuel, or the other way around, whatever's in the fuel got into the oil. And they had to replace the oil on a couple of occasions. I actually called Marshall this week to ask him if he could tell me more about it. He said, that's on my list of stories to investigate. So if you follow Marshall Pruitt on social media, watch for his reporting on that. As soon as I heard sustainable fuel for Formula One, I do not know if the components are the same. But I'm trying to get ahead of this idea that people might find it more complicated than they're thinking when you get this stuff involved. Now, keep in mind, a few years ago, Ferrari got in trouble because it was determined that they were actually pushing oil into the cylinders during the combustion process to increase the caloric value, get more power out of each piston stroke, and get around the fuel flow rules of Formula One. Formula One tells you how much fuel you can use, and more importantly, how fast you can use it, the fuel flow meter. And they were found to have been getting oil into the combustion process with the fuel and air to get a little more bang for their buck. So it's very likely, as I see it right now at this early stage, that sustainable fuels may cause some contamination problems that are going to have to be dealt with. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, that's the last thing you want as, you know, trying to keep the engine lubricated with some other chemical getting into the system. But, you know, that's going to be such a complex thing. I'm sure Formula One will get all that figured out. But I'm just excited to see sustainable fuels make it into the equation because,
of course,
to me, that's the thing that's going to keep our internal combustion cars on the road and the passion and the mechanical that we all love. Yeah, we all love the acceleration of an electric car, but it's not what is exciting to me about motorsport and about the mechanical things that I've come to, you know, that I grew up with and love about cars. So we'll see how all that plays out. That'll be really fascinating to see because I'm trying to stay on top of it, but I don't even know the directions. I know there's different ways to do sustainable fuel, so we'll check all that stuff out. But the other story, Schumacher, Mick Schumacher. Bob, that's interesting too.
Yeah, that he's going to have a reserve role. Obviously, Mercedes is taking very good care of him, and he will be at the Formula One races, probably get some, you know, FP1 first practice drives So we'll be seeing Mick Schumacher around, and that's good for the sport, I think, because he remains very popular.
Yeah, what a smart move by McLaren. You know, that's such a Zach Brown move, isn't it? To set up that Schumacher, because he is exactly what you said, just so popular that he could end up, you know, driving a McLaren as a reserve driver. That's such a smart move by Zach Brown, and he's always been good at that.
That's right. The team escaped me. It's McLaren that he's chatting with.
Yeah, yeah. Also, McLaren talking to Honda again. We talked about that earlier. Oh, I saw this. We talked about this right before we went on the air, but Daniel Ricciardo and Stephen Colbert. It's fantastic that we're getting so much F1 content across American television. But that was good of him to go on Colbert. And you commented before the show about how much he talked about Drive to Survive, right?
Yeah, he actually credited Drive to Survive with nearly all of the boost in young people's enthusiasm for Formula One here in the United States, which raised a question in my mind. Okay, a race weekend is not necessarily going to look just like Drive to Survive. I mean, you spoke with the producers of that show in Austin last year. They were as surprised as anybody that it was as well-received and popular as it is. So, I don't know. It's the old lawyer in me talking, I guess. So what if the presentation of Formula One race weekends isn't as dramatic and sexy and noisy and colorful as Drive to Survive, for obvious reasons? It's reality. Is that going to turn off any fans? Are they going to say, well, this wasn't what I expected? Are we going to see a dip in those astonishing popularity numbers? I don't know. I think it's a question worth asking.
Misrepresentation? Is that the right word for the lawyer in you?
No, not misrepresentation, but it's the difference between being able to get your video and pick and choose and develop your storylines as opposed to putting 20 of these fabulous race cars and personalities out there saying, off you go, have at it.
Yeah, I hope that that people don't get turned off. Let's say they watch Drive to Survive and they, you know, they get excited and then they turn on a race. And, you know, and if the first one they turn on happens to not be the most exciting, I could easily see that happening. But you know, there is so much of Drive to Survive that's kind of behind the scenes. So hopefully it still work as a pretty nice match. Look, whatever they've done, it's appeared to have worked. But I do know exactly what you mean. You know, I was talking about this F1 wheel nut a while ago. I did a little presentation at a school, and they wanted the teacher said, "Can you bring some video?" And I said, "Sure, I'll grab some YouTube video." And I thought, you know what? I was so fascinated by the Grosjean crash in the Netflix, and Netflix actually had a clip of that on YouTube. And I thought, let me look and see what else is out there. So I went to F1's YouTube channel and basically played the same thing. And after playing them back to back, I was like, there's no doubt I'm going to take the Netflix version to the kids because it is so dramatized. And they really did it. They did it fantastically well, telling the story behind the scenes, showing the facial expressions of Gunther Steiner and everybody when they didn't know what was happening inside that ball of fire. So, Netflix has knocked it out of the park. What is it? Box to Box Films. Those guys have knocked it out of the park. So they've done a great job with it. And Bob, I remember last year when it was announced, they did they talked about the numbers. And I think it was 2 weeks in after the show had been out for 2 weeks. And they said 50 million people had watched that Netflix show, Drive to Survive, in the first 2 weeks it was out. And then I saw yesterday that IndyCar had decided to up the ante and spend $17 million on marketing. I'm like, okay, IndyCar spending $17 million and F1 is getting the equivalent of $17 billion worth of, that's an exaggeration, but who knows how much. So
yeah,
it's crazy. All right, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we have a young American driver, Jacob Abel, who's going to join us live from New Zealand. You're listening to your Sunday Night with Speed City. Back after this.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Karun Chandok, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to your Sunday night with Speed City on a Sunday afternoon, a super Sunday. I want to welcome to the show, very excited, because there are four Americans down in New Zealand this year for the Castrol Toyota Formula Regional Oceania Series, and we have with
Nailed
us...
It.
I was close, wasn't it? It was pretty close. A little hesitation there.
It's a mouthful.
But we have with us Jacob Abel. Jacob, welcome to Speed City.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I think I've been on this a couple times, and it's always good to, you know, catch up with you guys.
Well, give everybody a quick breakdown on your background. You're an American, obviously. Where are you from and all that stuff?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky, hence the Muhammad Ali sweatshirt here. But yeah, so originally from there, and I live in Indianapolis now. Been racing cars since back in 2017 now. So, you know, I'm kind of getting old in terms of racing years here. So been racing for like, I guess 6 years now. Started in Formula 4, did F3 Americas for a while. Indy Pro 2000, and then most recently last year raced Indy Lights, but now they're renaming it to Indy Next. So yeah, and then down here in New Zealand, just finished up the Castrol Toyota Formula Regional Oceania Championship. ended up finishing third in the championship, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Danny Sullivan, my old TV colleague and a guy who messed around in IndyCar for a few years, Indy 500, all that stuff, is also from Louisville. Does he have any kind of a profile in his old hometown anymore?
I mean, racing just isn't really a thing in Louisville, like, believe it or not.
So the answer is no.
We got, basically, no, okay. But I obviously know who he is. And you know, he's obviously a legend in the sport and one who represents the Louisville name really well. So hopefully I can, you know, follow in his footsteps.
Well, you did good down into New Zealand at the Toyota Series because you finished third in the highest ranked American, and you had a mathematical chance going into that last race, didn't you?
Yeah, the last race weekend kind of sucked, to be honest, but yeah, we did everything we could to throw away third place in the championship, but couldn't manage to do it. But yeah, you know, we had a really good championship. It was kind of a boring way to go to a third place overall result. You know, I had, you know, four or five podiums, no race wins, and about 150 fourth and fifth place finishes. But so not super glamorous, but, you know, a good result anyways.
You know, the competition is typically very good at the Toyota Racing Series, and you got to be proud of a third place finish there. So, I mean, and how do you feel about the competition this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the competition is super strong down here. I think it's, you know, we've really realized being down here for, you know, these 5 weeks is how small this place really is. I mean, it's basically the size of, like, you know, any given state in America, and the amount of race car drivers, like really successful race car drivers that they've produced out of here is like kind of insane. You know, you have Scott Dixon, obviously Scott McLaughlin, you know, Marcus Armstrong now is racing IndyCar. Yeah. Liam Lawson is right on the brink of Formula One, and, you know, tons of guys in super successful, you know, sports car roles, and all of that. And it's just nuts because, you know, it's just this little country in the bottom of the world, and it's producing, you know, a ton of great talent. But yeah, this year especially too, you know, you had Charlie Wirtz is obviously the guy who won the championship. He's his father is Alexander Wirtz, who's a very successful Formula One driver. And then Callum Hedge is the top New Zealand driver down here. He's super talented, really, really strong driver. So yeah, it's been really tough, but you know, really good experience just because, you know, I'd never driven any of these tracks before. I'd never driven this car before. You know, it was kind of funny because I've been racing in America, you know, my whole career. You know, I've never raced outside of America, and I hadn't driven a new road course, new permanent road course for like 3 years before I came down here. So it's pretty cool. It's been a cool experience, but yeah, definitely excited to get back home and go to some familiar places.
And it's Spec Series.
What's next for you?
Oh, go ahead, Bob. Sorry.
Oh, just what's next for you, Jacob?
Yeah. So it's a pretty quick turnaround now. I mean, we just finished 5 weeks down here, and then 2 weeks from today, we're going to be back on track in Homestead, Miami, testing the Indy Next car right before the race weekend in St. Pete. So just a quick break and straight back into it.
I was just talking about the cars there at New Zealand. It's a spec car. Everybody in the same car, right?
Yeah. Yep. Everyone's in the same car, and it's a cool situation. It's, you know, spec beyond, you know, spec usually is, you know, I mean, you hear all these series are spec nowadays, but the cool thing about this series is after every single session, every driver gets the fastest driver's data. So you can actually go back and, you know, compare it to whoever was the fastest overall, the fastest on each team. You get all their data, which is a really cool thing. You can tell they're definitely, you know, motivated for development down here.
That is funny. I, you know, Jonathan's been down there doing this thing since inception, like 18 years ago or whatever it is. He's never told me that. That's fascinating. And that really is, like you said, spec can mean different things. That is truly a level playing field, isn't it?
Right. Right. Yeah. It's cool. I mean, it's really cool. You know, coming from America and, you know, I've always been either on a one or two car team, I've never really gotten all this information. So it's been super cool to, you know, be able to see exactly what all the other drivers are doing, you know, to become fast and see that it really is possible, because it kind of takes a lot of the excuses out of the equation when you get everyone's data. So, yeah.
Yeah. So who were you closest to in your team? Who would you go over that data with?
Yeah. So the team itself is Kiwi Motorsport. Gary and Tina run that team very well. They also run a team back in America. I've known them for years. But yeah, and then my engineer, David Versalco. So he's from New Zealand. And then he spends most of his time during the year doing racing in Australia. So it was really cool to get close to him, a new engineer, throughout the time. And then also with me, I brought Spencer Piggott, who's been driver coaching me for the past, you know, year and a half. So yeah, him.
Well, guys, I just looked at the clock and the hour has flown by, and we are out of time. But Jacob Abel, congratulations, sir. That was an accomplishment. I know you wanted to do better than that, but you finished third in that level of competition. It's great. We were watching you the whole time. We were paying attention to all the Americans down there, and that's something to be big time proud of, and we appreciate you coming on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you guys
so much.
We'll
be looking for those results from Homestead.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And go watch the Super Bowl, I guess. I may watch some of it. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next Sunday night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Tarun Chandok, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to your Sunday night with Speed City on a Sunday afternoon, a super Sunday. I want to welcome to the show, very excited, because there are four Americans down in New Zealand this year for the Castrol Toyota Formula Regional Oceania Series, and we have with
Nailed
us...
It.
I was close, wasn't it? It was pretty close. A little hesitation there.
It's a mouthful.
But we have with us Jacob Abel. Jacob, welcome to Speed City.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I think I've been on this a couple times, and it's always good to, you know, catch up with you guys.
Well, give everybody a quick breakdown on your background. You're an American, obviously. Where are you from and all that stuff?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky, hence the Muhammad Ali sweatshirt here. But
nice.
Yeah, so originally from there, and I live in Indianapolis now. Been racing cars since back in 2017 now. So, you know, I'm kind of getting old in terms of racing years here. So been racing for like, yeah, I guess 6 years now. Started in Formula 4, did F3 Americas for a while. Indy Pro 2000, and then most recently last year raced Indy Lights, but now they're renaming it to Indy Next. So yeah, and then down here in New Zealand, just finished up the Castrol Toyota Formula Regional Oceania Championship. ended up finishing third in the championship, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Mm.
Danny Sullivan, my old TV colleague and a guy who messed around in IndyCar for a few years, Indy 500, all that stuff, is also from Louisville. Does he have any kind of a profile in his old hometown anymore?
I mean, racing just isn't really a thing in Louisville, like, believe it or not.
So the answer is no.
We got, yeah, basically, no, okay. But I obviously know who he is. And, you know, he's obviously a legend in the sport and one who represents the Louisville name really well. So hopefully I can, you know, follow in his footsteps.
Well, you did good down into New Zealand at the Toyota Series because you finished third in the highest ranked American, and you had a mathematical chance going into that last race, didn't you?
Yeah, the last race weekend kind of sucked, to be honest. But yeah, we did everything we could to throw away third place in the championship, but couldn't manage to do it. But yeah, you know, we had a really good championship. It was kind of a boring way to go to a third place overall result. You know, I had, you know, four or five podiums, no race wins, and about 150 fourth and fifth place finishes. But so not super glamorous, but, you know, a good result anyways.
You know, the competition is typically very good at the Toyota Racing Series, and you got to be proud of a third place finish there. So, I mean, and how do you feel about the competition this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the competition is super strong down here. I think it's, you know, we've really realized being down here for, you know, these 5 weeks is how small this place really is. I mean, it's basically the size of, like, you know, any given state in America, and the amount of race car drivers, like really successful race car drivers that they've produced out of here is like kind of insane. You know, you have Scott Dixon, obviously Scott McLaughlin, you know, Marcus Armstrong now is racing IndyCar. Yeah. Liam Lawson is right on the brink of Formula One, and, you know, tons of guys in super successful, you know, sports car roles, and all of that. And it's just nuts because, you know, it's just this little country in the bottom of the world, and it's producing, you know, a ton of great talent. But yeah, this year especially too, you know, you had Charlie Wirtz is obviously the guy who won the championship. His father is Alexander Wirtz, who's a very successful Formula One driver. And then Callum Hedge is the top New Zealand driver down here. He's super talented, really, really strong driver. So yeah, it's been really tough, but, you know, really good experience just because, you know, I'd never driven any of these tracks before. I'd never driven this car before. You know, it was kind of funny because I've been racing in America, you know, my whole career. You know, I've never raced outside of America, and I hadn't driven a new road course, new permanent road course, for like 3 years before I came down here. So it's pretty cool. It's been a cool experience, but yeah, definitely excited to get back home and go to some familiar places.
And it's Spec Series.
What's next for you?
Oh, go ahead, Bob. Sorry.
What's next for you, Jacob?
Yeah. So it's a pretty quick turnaround now. I mean, we just finished 5 weeks down here, and then 2 weeks from today, we're going to be back on track in Homestead, Miami, testing the Indy Next car right before the race weekend in St. Pete. So just a quick break and straight back into it.
I was just talking about the cars there at New Zealand. It's a spec car. Everybody in the same car, right?
Yeah. Yep. Everyone's in the same car. And it's a cool situation. It's, you know, spec beyond, you know, spec usually is, you know, I mean, you hear all these series are spec nowadays, but the cool thing about this series is after every single session, every driver gets the fastest driver's data. So you can actually go back and, you know, compare it to whoever was the fastest overall, the fastest on each team. You get all their data, which is a really cool thing. You can tell they're definitely, you know, motivated for development down here.
That is funny. Jonathan's been down there doing this thing since inception, like 18 years ago or whatever it is. He's never told me that. That's fascinating. And that really is, it doesn't, like you said, spec can mean different things. That is truly a level playing field, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's cool. I mean, it's really cool. You know, coming from America and, you know, I've always been either on a one or two car team, I've never really gotten all this information. So it's been super cool to, you know, be able to see exactly what all the other drivers are doing, you know, to become fast and see that it really is possible, because it kind of takes a lot of the excuses out of the equation when you get everyone's data. So, yeah.
Yeah. So who were you closest to in your team? Who would you go over that data with?
Yeah. So the team itself is Kiwi Motorsport. Gary and Tina run that team very well. They also run a team back in America. I've known them for years. But yeah, and then my engineer, David Versalco. So he's from New Zealand. And then he spends most of his time during the year doing racing in Australia. So it was really cool to get close to him, a new engineer, throughout the time. And then also with me, I brought Spencer Pigott, who's been driver coaching me for the past, you know, year and a half. So yeah, him.
Well, guys, I just looked at the clock and the hour has flown by, and we are out of time. But Jacob Abel, congratulations, sir. That was an accomplishment. I know you wanted to do better than that, but you finished third in that and that level of competition. It's great. We were watching you the whole time. We were paying attention to all the Americans down there, and that's something to be big time proud of. And we appreciate you coming on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you guys
so much.
We'll
be looking
for
those results from Homestead.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in, and go watch the Super Bowl, I guess. I may watch some of it. All right. Thanks everybody. We'll talk to you next Sunday night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.